This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, welcome on in. The diner is open. What do you call that thing? You go sit up there and you have like a muffin or a bagel. Oh, yeah, the counter. Welcome. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. It is Friday, which means, of course, the morning roast. And I honestly, I'll be honest with you, I saw some photos. I didn't see the appearance for you on the big hockey event last night on ESPN. But people were saying your outfit was interesting, is what I heard. Very interesting.
Oh, I wouldn't say interesting. I don't think they said interesting.
Well, you know what? I was trying to be kind there. A lot of people did not like it.
Well, that's fine.
Well, I want to defend you for that. But I think on the morning roast, you might get savagely attacked by some.
It was loud. And that
really?
Wasn't even one of the louder jackets. Yeah,
but,
it was
but that's what you get. You know who you are.
Yeah, like what am I going to go? Just come on with some like bland blue blazer?
That's what I would do.
No.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
No,
but
I was working with Jeremy Schapp. What is the expectation when you're working with Jeremy Schapp? He's going to wear a standard blue blazer. So I said, you know what? I'm going to complement his standard blue blazer with a white and black houndstooth sport jacket.
Nice. And I heard you were taking shots at people when they're saying, to, you know, how much is this jacket? And you're like, you couldn't afford this jacket.
Well, he was taking shots at me. I was taking shots at
him. Oh, it was Ryan Callahan?
No, it was me and Jeremy Schapp.
Oh, it was Schapp. I'm surprised. So Schapp was going after the jacket, huh?
Oh, yeah. Schapp is. Don't let him fool you. He's nasty.
Because he has this persona of being, you know, like just this, you know, real classy, upstanding guy.
He's awesome, by the way.
Big Jeremy Schapp fan.
You know what's funny, though, is that so he went to Cornell, and he's so proud of going to Cornell, and I know that, obviously. So every time I brought up on the show, I was like, what is this, Colgate math? And at first he thought I was like, I screwed it up. And then I mentioned it again. And he's like, no, I went to Cornell. I was like, yeah, I know you went to Cornell. Relax.
Do you throw in the Harvard?
I did. Actually, I did throw in the Harvard last night.
Yeah, what a surprise this is.
Oh, I did.
How obvious is this?
What?
Well, because he says he went to Cornell and you have to throw in that you got into Harvard.
Well, he throws it in my face. What are you going to tell you? He thinks he's better educated than me.
Well, he is.
Right. You don't have to flaunt it.
Well, sometimes when you got it, you flaunt it. I mean, what do you mean he says he's been? He went to Cornell, I imagine, for 4 years. You went to BU for 1 year.
Yeah.
Ipso facto, better educated than you.
Doesn't mean I'm not wicked smart.
Nobody said you're not smart. I think you're a very smart guy.
Oh, thank you.
But, I mean, in a court of law, I think it's fair to say Jeremy Schapp, better educated than you.
Right, correct. That is right. And also has unbelievable, amazing stories.
Well, through his dad, I'm sure, too, right?
Well, his dad, I mean, I actually asked him yesterday. I was like, where is the coolest place that all of a sudden, spur of the moment, they called you and said, you have to go here? And the media is like, Iceland. I was like, for what? He's like, well, do you remember when
the chess match.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Exactly right.
How good am I?
Yeah, but the problem was he had to get to Iceland before Fisher got to Iceland. And he was in the city. The only way to get to Iceland, the only direct flight was out of Boston, I guess, and it was one flight.
So he had to fly up to Boston? I mean, drive up to Boston?
No, he flew. Like, he went home, packed a suitcase in 2 seconds, got on the plane from LaGuardia to Boston, and then somehow managed to get to Iceland before
Bobby Fisher?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then they got
cool.
And then they got him, so it was worth it.
You know what we should do over the summer, maybe on a slow-ish day?
Have
Jeremy Schapp on for story time.
You know he had his radio show for 20 years on ESPN Radio?
Well, he did like an early morning weekly show, right?
I think it was, yeah, on the weekends. In 20 years he did it.
Yep. Yeah. No, I did. I remember. It was a good show. So I think on a slow day in the summer, maybe for like half an hour, Jeremy Schapp.
Awesome stories, man. Awesome.
And then we get the stories. By the way, this portion of this show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. So what do we have today? We have the morning roast, of course, at 7:45. At 8:30, C.J. McCollum will join us. He's a terrific player, so he's going to join us, break down some of the NBA postseason, and then at 9:15, the stuff you missed. So we have a very busy day. Giants lock up Dexter Lawrence, nice deal. Knicks, obviously, with a huge game on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Mets, awful. Awful, awful. You have now lost 5 out of 6 to the Nationals and the Tigers, so that's a terrible run. And the Yankees with a huge series. And sadly enough, on the pre-show meeting, RJ said, if you offered me 1-2 right now in this series, I would snap it up. So as great as New York sports was rolling for a while, it feels like we have hit a very quick speed bump.
Yeah, we're in a little bit of we're in the mud a little bit right now.
Yeah, we got to get out of this thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hopefully the Knicks that get us out of it.
That's
tomorrow.
See, that's and you're starting to get more discussion with the Mets and the Yankees because the Rangers are done and these teams are, you know, falling more into the heart of the regular season and just not playing very good baseball. But the Knicks are the thing that will save them. Like, if the Knicks win Saturday, even if the Yankees get crushed this weekend, it won't be as bad because the Knicks will be the biggest topic.
Well, it's what saved the Mets so far. I mean, with everything going on with the Rangers and the Knicks, I mean, the Mets have lost 9 of their last 11.
Awful. But that get-out-of-jail pass is going to it's gonna expire soon.
Yeah, I think it's already expired. You just got swept by Detroit.
Detroit.
And, with your two supposed aces.
Well, the only thing I'll say is yesterday, Verlander wasn't bad.
No. But what happened? Okay. You're not wrong. I mean, he got jumped in the first inning, the back-to-back home runs, and then he settled down, got hit hard. But again, it's his first appearance.
Correct.
So I would say you feel positive moving forward that he's going to be Justin Verlander because he has to be. But how many times have we talked about how this team has been constructed? How the team last year was constructed was with, elite top of the rotation starting pitching and then this lineup and how in the two biggest series of your season last year, pitching set up, you failed. So the only reason I bring it up is, and I know this is his first start and everything else, but the team was constructed to have Scherzer and Verlander, and then you have this lineup. And in this series against a really bad team, you had your two very high-priced aces pitch, and you lost both.
Correct. The Scherzer one monumentally bothers me more than the Verlander one.
That is not even a question.
I thought Verlander looked good. It's his first start of the season. You haven't seen him, in 6 months now at this point. He had a rocky first inning, and he really settled down. And that was I tried to make mention of this yesterday. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, plays whatever. Eduardo Rodriguez is a stud.
Stud.
He made the Mets look foolish yesterday. They had almost no hard hit balls. Now, the reason that game to me is so distressing is because, as you mentioned, you just got swept by a team, and let's be fair, that stinks. That is almost unacceptable. And I'm at the point now where you're 6 games behind Atlanta. In my mind, and I think you'd agree, Atlanta is clearly the better baseball team. The Mets are in serious trouble of falling out of this division race.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Unless somehow Max figures it out. I mean, you know what this team is. I mean, I think everyone before the season knew what this team was built to be. It was going to be high-end, top-of-the-rotation pitching, and then that top-of-your lineup. That's the team.
Well, Nimmo has not been great. He had the stretch where he was great. He hasn't been great. Marte's been bad. Lindor's not been great.
And Pete didn't have a good series.
So, I mean, if those guys are not producing, and then you didn't even play Beatty yesterday because you went up against the lefty.
Right, and you're trying to keep Escobar, involved a little bit. But, starting pitching, I gave you the numbers yesterday, has not been good. Hasn't been giving you length, which affects your bullpen. And right now, when you look, last 11 games, the Mets are 2-9. Averaging, under 3.5 runs a game, batting average gross. Like 234, OPS 657. Like, it's just not.
It's gross.
And
I was
listening
to the K show yesterday, and I guess Don said that Passan tweeted out, this is the sixth time the Mets have been shut out this year.
Yeah, RJ also wrote that in the look ahead, the show sheet.
Well, why would he write it in the look ahead?
In the show sheet. He put it in the show sheet.
Yeah, but I heard it first on the K show.
Well, okay, that's fine, but it would be nice if you credited a producer, maybe.
Rick's just trying to be a good teammate. I appreciate that.
Right. How many times last year did they get shut out? All season.
Eight.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly.
I also heard it. I attribute Don, but I heard that, saw that tweet.
So where I first hear it is not the place I should bring it to the attention of people. I should just say if one of our own has it.
No, okay. You're perfectly right to do what you did.
No, he jumped me.
No, I just wanted to also.
No, you jumped me. You jumped the everyman. Raymond. Raymond. Who's the everyman?
I guess Dave is vindicated as the everyman, Rick. I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but. No XM in that car. Fancy car. No XM.
He still doesn't sit. Now he thinks you're a liar.
There's video proof.
I don't think you guys know how to use the radio.
Oh, no.
Or you got a knockoff. You have a knockoff Mercedes.
I don't. Well, pick one. What do you think is more likely?
Because God forbid Rick ever admit that he's wrong. Just say, I'm Rick DiPietro, and in this instance, I'm wrong. He won't do it. He won't say it. He can't.
No,
that's his
weakness. I'll listen. I'm Rick DiPietro. No, I'm Rick DiPietro, and I'm apparently wrong. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know who I think is wrong? Mercedes.
Mercedes?
Mercedes.
You blame Mercedes Lewis for this?
Yep.
Yep. I blame your Canal Street Mercedes that you bought.
Yeah, they took some shortcuts.
How dare you?
It's okay.
Got it from the rainbow of Mercedes dealers.
I can't win with you guys.
I think getting to work with us is a win for you every day.
I'm not sure about that.
Stop, please.
I mean, sometimes I enjoy it greatly. Other times I feel like it's a 3-on-1.
I think that's fair.
Some people might like that. You know who you're acting like right now?
Carl Lewis.
Nope. Brandon Nimmo trying to steal second base last night.
That was worse.
Oh.
What are you doing? In fact, let's hear right from Brandon Nimmo. So if you didn't see it last night, yesterday afternoon, Mets down 2-0, top of the ninth. Nimmo gets on base, which means even if you're like 6 years old, you're listening, you wake up early this morning at 6:12, whatever it is, you're listening like, wait a minute, man on base, that runner really means nothing. There's no reason to try to rush him around the bases because why? Because the next batter hits a home run and now it's a tie game. So the last thing you can do if you're Brandon Nimmo is try to take a base that you have any chance of getting caught at, right? You agree?
Yeah, well, especially when you have, I mean, you got 2, 3, 4 behind you.
Doesn't matter who's coming up behind
you. No, I get it. But, I mean, even worse is that you have the heart of your lineup coming up.
Yeah, yes, but let's not, I mean, if you had 8-9-1 coming up, it would be a moronic thing to do.
Yes, that's right.
So he decides in that moment, let me go take second base. And guess what happens in that moment? He gets thrown out. And now the potential tying run is not at the plate. The potential tying run is now on deck. And that is the way the Mets season has gone. Here is Brandon Nimmo explaining his thought process in attempting that ridiculous steal.
Closers are 155 on average. I was thinking it was a tough matchup for Starling and don't want a ground ball double play here, but I also don't want to get thrown out. But on a 155, I'm thinking I should be there just pretty much every time. That's what I was thinking in my head. 10 out of 10 times I should be there, even on a bad jump. Guy likes to throw a lot of curveballs, and it was a curveball count. He had just thrown a couple fastballs in a row. And so, anyways, I made the decision. It was mine alone. It obviously didn't work out.
Great. Good thought process, good thinking, and great result.
At least it was well thought out, though.
Great, wonderful. 10 out of 10. So what happened then?
He said even on a bad jump.
Right. Bad jump, 10 out of 10, I'm going to take second base.
I think he miscalculated maybe the catcher's arm.
And maybe the 10 out of 10?
And maybe the 10 out of 60% of the time, it works every time.
That's not Cornell math, I'll tell you that.
That is not Cornell math or Colgate math.
More from Brandon Nimmo. Will you second guess stealing in that situation again?
Now there's a second thought, you know, in my head. Now there's obviously that, well, I have been thrown out the one time. So I don't know. We'll have to leave that for another time, but it's probably not a good chance of it in the near future.
Oh, great. Well, we'll have to see what happens in the future, but probably not a great chance. Could you imagine if he did it again? He's not a
great base stealer anyway, though.
No. The thing that's so frustrating about him is he's a great base runner, and he's a terrible base stealer.
Well, and on top of that, he just finally learned how to slide head first, too, which I thought was interesting.
The Mets are in one now, Mike.
I get what he's saying, but you need, I mean, your run means nothing. It's 2-0, there's one out.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, right. So you want, I get you don't want Marte to hit into the double play, but you want to, I mean, you want to get to, at least get to Lindor. And then hopefully Pete, but.
Ugh, awful.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I've realized as we started the show here on a Friday?
That Raymond Santiago was a genius.
Genius. But I knew that. I didn't realize that just today. I realize that I am not going to share really anymore. I'm going to be professional. I'll still bring in fruits. I will give genius sports takes, but I don't think I'm going to let you like deep into my personal life anymore.
Why? What happened now?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because what I've realized is there's no winning for me on the show. Because I tell you something about my car, I don't have Sirius, and then it's, well, you're an idiot, you have Sirius, you just don't know how to look it up.
No one said you were an idiot.
Yeah, yes, oh, yes. I mean, they press the source button. You press the source button. You don't know what you're doing. You're clueless, right? So then I invite a man into my car. He sits there, and he looks, he's like, you know what? You're right. So now I'm vindicated, and now I'm defined as the everyman, and now it's like, well, it's only because you bought your car down on Canal Street, and that's why it's a cheap, cheesy knockoff of a car. I can't win. Whatever happened, if I win, now there's another avenue ready to go to try to exploit me.
No, I'm offended for you. I'm upset for you. I don't understand how in that beautiful luxury automobile there's not the ability to have Sirius.
Well, maybe they look at it and say, it's a man that works at 98.7 ESPN. He doesn't even need Sirius. He's not going to listen to Sirius over his own station.
Maybe that's their thought process. Station, but, I mean, what happens when you're out of range and you don't get the station? Are you capable of hooking up your phone and listening to the app?
I'd say at a minimum I could turn on the app and listen through the phone. At a minimum. And then you have to fit. Here's the thing. You have to figure if I'm on a long road trip, odds are I'm going to be with my wife, and she has that capability.
Well, what do you mean, odds are?
Well, odds are. Sometimes Ben and I go on long trips that Cherry doesn't go on for baseball stuff.
Yeah, that was a good cover. Good, quick.
There it is. I let you in again, and you jump me.
No, I didn't jump
in. If I ever let anybody in, the first thought that goes through your mind is, how could we get him?
So you feel a way about sharing info with people, It bothers you?
Well, because I share too much.
It's troubling?
I share too much.
Mm.
You share nothing.
And this is why.
You're like a vault.
And this is why.
Well, maybe you should try.
You're not sending the right message to Raymond, David.
No, I think Raymond should absolutely share with us. He shares nothing. I share everything.
If I'm going to end up...
This is the thanks I get.
If I'm going to end up like you, I'm fine.
What does that mean?
I don't have to justify everything. You're getting called out for who you're going on trips with.
I'm getting called out for any. There's no safe space for me on the show, and that's the problem. I'm always on edge. I need therapy just from being on the show. Forget
you're
about all the other
edge.
Things I have in my life. Just this show is forcing me to have therapy.
Stop it.
I'm no pumpkin.
It's the best 4 hours of your day. I don't want to
halftime flackies. That's right. You and your halftime flackies.
Yeah.
I don't even know what flackies are.
You know exactly what they are. You know what I meant.
Exactly.
You want to tussle?
Yeah, we're the ones that have issues. You listen,
I didn't say I didn't have issues.
I'm the everyman.
But I am the everyman, and that's not defined.
How about feeling bad for us having to deal with you every day?
I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
I got to coddle you every day. So massage your ego
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. RJ, we'll get right back to the Mets in seconds. Who needs more coddling, me or Rick?
See, normally I would say Rick.
I'm juggling.
I think this particular day, I think it's you.
Who's the baby now?
Overall, from soup to nuts, who needs more coddling?
Historically, it's been Rick.
That's it.
But you're tipping the scales.
One day.
Is it one day?
We'll see what happens next week.
All right. Uh-huh. You can't get us.
1-800-919-3776. Buck Showalter on the team's offensive struggles. Here he
is. We haven't found that consistency yet that I think we will. But most times I look at the pitching, but you got to beat the good ones too. And that's why it's the big leagues. You face a good pitcher every night almost.
So where is your level of concern? Because and maybe this is a bad take by me, and because I'm so close and I'm a Mets fan, I feel like they're not going to win this division. They're not going to win this division. Atlanta's better. Atlanta's got a 6-game lead. So I push that to the side. I still give them a pretty good chance of getting into the postseason, though. There's no reason this team can't be a wild card team.
Yeah. Unless Max Scherzer just can't pitch anymore. And then we're in trouble.
No, then you're done. I said it yesterday. RJ made a promo out of it. If Max Scherzer is done, you're done.
Okay, so I mean there is some level of concern. There has to be.
You're not panicked by 16-16. You're more upset at the fact that Max Scherzer has not looked very good so far this season.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Well, you take that. The fact that Quintana hasn't been available.
And he's not going to be.
Does Senga, he's going to go, this is 9 days without, since you've seen him pitch, because you're trying to recreate his schedule he had in Japan. So, this is, you're paying $86 million to two pitchers for a reason. And if one of those guys is not an ace, it affects everything, though. Because then you got to, who on the pitching staff is giving you any length so far? No one. Lucchese's the only one that's given you any length one time this season.
How about with Lucchese, by the way? They're in such dire straits when he started on, what did he start on? On Tuesday, right?
Yeah, they pulled him so they have a starter for Sunday.
It's almost unheard of.
That's where the starting pitching is at right now.
It's terrible.
It's not good. So you take that, you couple it with, right now, a bad offense, and you start making mistakes on top of that. Mistakes that you didn't see last year.
Right. And they were so good last year. And you're right, fell apart down the stretch against, the Braves in that series and then San Diego in the postseason, but they had a hell of a year.
101 wins, a hell of a year. I think the concerning part about last year was what you just mentioned and you couple that with kind of getting exposed. You had two big series, the Braves series and then the playoffs, where you had, everything lined up the way you wanted it. And it didn't work.
Right. But you weren't exposed by the Nationals and you weren't exposed by the Tigers. Those are teams you handled for the most part last season.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about that stuff. I'm not worried about that. I'm not even worried about winning the division. Would I like to win the division? Of course I would. But I also watched the Philadelphia Phillies get all the way to the World Series last year.
And fire their manager.
So, is it important to win your division? Absolutely. But more importantly, it's playing your best baseball at the right time of the season. So, to be in this spot where you're 16-16, you just got swept by Detroit, you're 2-9 in your last 11, all that stuff, yeah, that sucks. Right now, the concern for me is how this team was built and is it the right way to build a team? And second of all, is it sustainable? When you got, one of your aces is 40 and the other one is almost 39 and looks like he could be shot.
I would say odds are it's not sustainable.
Okay. So, it's a problem.
It's a problem. We sit here, it's May 5th. How happy Cinco de Mayo, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
You can go a little Mexican tonight?
A couple margaritas maybe on the agenda.
Nice. Look at you.
I got a big men's league baseball game tonight, though. So.
No. You can't play in that.
I have to.
God.
They need me. I'm the bus boy. Someone's got to set the
table. You set the table. We know. And then when you can't walk into work next week, what happens?
I still show up at work, don't I?
Yeah.
I lay on the couch.
I walk in. You're on the couch. Your hand's in your pants. It's quite a scene.
Can I ask a serious question?
Yeah.
Okay. This is to all three of you. How nice would it be, though, for our pre-show meeting, especially for RJ and Santi, and we're there so early.
Much earlier than me, yes.
Yeah, but you bring the fruit, so we look past it. That we had, like, a nice like a nice lazy boy situation where we could really just relax and chat before the show.
Well, it'd be great, but here's the thing.
Could RJ be dangerous.
RJ would never use it.
Yeah, he would.
No, he would. RJ,
yeah, he would.
He's bouncing all over the place. He's
no, but he would get
out.
His work
no,
done. He's there so early. No, but he gets his work. He's there so early. He'd get his work done just knowing that he had the opportunity to relax a little bit than the lazy boy.
RJ, would you ever hop into the lazy boy?
You know when I might do it? Is, you know, maybe after the show or relaxing for, you know, the 5 or so, 10 minutes that we all hang out and talk.
That would be nice.
Little compression.
What would you prefer? A massage chair?
That doesn't have to be. A little added extra would be nice.
Be great.
I mean, what would you rather? The massaging lazy boy chairs or the super comfortable stadium seating that is in the studio?
It's a tough one.
Yeah, right.
I do enjoy 75-year-old seats from old Yankee Stadium, though.
It's great.
1960 stadium seating.
Yeah, it is very nice.
Yeah.
One of them even has a cushion.
Yeah, it's, come on. A beautiful brand new studio, and we get that. And then the thinnest couch, the most narrow couch in the history of couches.
Who only one person uses anyway.
I got to make the best of what I got, no?
No, I guess so.
Having one of those women here would be super dangerous, though. Rick
what,
would
a lazy boy?
Yeah, Rick would pass out.
You'd sit in it during the show.
Man, Rick could pass out before the show.
Yeah, but I would wake up before the show. Yeah,
but you guys have to wake him up?
Tom Brady sleeps before a game. You just close your eyes and mentally focus.
Yeah, but I don't think they're announcing the starting lineup, and Tom Brady is they're like, Tom, you got to wake up. That's what happened to you the other day. You almost slept through the show.
No, I almost missed the open, but I was I had to need a little cat nap.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It looks like Sunday's going to be beautiful,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a beautiful weekend. Now, here's my dilemma life decision. Anniversary Monday. However.
I already told you, Sunday brunch.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we can't do Sunday brunch because Alex has a lacrosse game, but we could do a nice early Sunday dinner.
That would be beautiful.
But Monday, Ben has a baseball game right after school, 4:30, and then the Knicks play at 7:30.
Right, and you guys both want to watch him play, which is, because it's a big deal. I mean, he's playing for the varsity baseball team, so you got to be there for that. I think Sunday you make it all about Cher.
Yep.
Maybe you take off the Egypt-sized brace, maybe massage the leg a little bit. And you see what happens.
You know, I was thinking about getting her a massage, but she can't take a massage now.
I'm saying maybe you give her a little
massage. No, I know. I'm on a separate note. I was thinking a massage, and I mentioned it in passing. She's like, I can't lie on my stomach like that. So
yeah, I think we're still a little bit away from the, like she had serious reconstruction of the knee.
Yeah. It's so funny because is she better? No. I get that
all
the time.
Not better.
She's not better.
She's just tougher than most people is what
I'm
she
like,
is.
How long will this kind of thing take? Like a year? You know, it's a big rehab.
Right, unless you're Adrian Peterson. I mean, it's going to be a while.
And then you're back running for two. I mean, do you see 2,000 yards in her future?
Yes.
You do?
I think she will be, she's going to be better than ever. She's bouncing around, coaching the hell out of the lacrosse team. She's made different than you.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
She's what you wish you were.
No, I don't think that's nice. I think we complement each other beautifully.
Right, because what you lack, she has. It's perfect.
And what she lacks, I have.
I don't know about that.
So let's just be honest here. 6:38.
There's one thing you have that she doesn't have that she needs, and that's pretty much it.
And that's all? That's the only reason she keeps me around?
I think that was probably the initial reason.
And there you go again.
See, you made beautiful kids.
Gorgeous kids.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how Alex puts this whole bar mitzvah reading together.
I feel bad for him. We're talking about yesterday. I was like, you're going to be great. He's like, I'm nervous. I was like, listen, I understand why you'd be nervous.
That's nerve-wracking stuff, too, with everybody watching.
Go up in front of 100 people, and they're going to be watching. And yeah, I understand you got to speak a foreign language, but you're going to be so ready that you're just going to be terrific.
I think he knows that if it goes sideways, you'll come right after him.
No.
Yeah.
No, I would not.
He knows how you are at baseball.
Well, he doesn't play baseball.
Or lacrosse and baseball, excuse me.
Or basketball or anything.
Different kids' sports.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? You go out, oh, you tried your best. Thank you so much. No, we're not looking to promote that kind of a pathetic way of sports life. No.
This is why he's nervous.
Yeah, but you just recognized how difficult it was. I mean, there are grown adults that all of a sudden get up in front of a big crowd and they get nervous. They tighten
Loser.
Up.
Loser. I don't know.
Listen. I see what you're trying to do, though. You're trying to add the appropriate amount of pressure.
No, I'm not trying to add pressure. I'm saying we're gonna study so much this summer. You're just gonna go up there and it's gonna be second nature to you. You're gonna
get
a chance.
You're a loser.
You do what you have to do, and then you're done.
And then you're done. Then we party. Have you rescinded Rosenberg's invitation to this bar mitzvah?
No, he's still on the list. But I did hear that you and I are both not going to be invited to his wedding.
No, it's definitive.
Oh, it's now defined.
It's defined. Here's the best part.
And I'll tell you what. Also, if we do want, like, people start saying no, and then we get a late invite, I'm not going.
But that's what I was going to say. So that's his thing. So he explains it as, well, I just have too many people now. But if people start coming off the list because they can't attend, then I'll send out more invitations. Well, if I get one of those invitations,
I promise you right now, if RJ gets his invitation, I don't know when's the wedding, like July,
you already got
right?
The invitation.
Oh, you already have the invitation?
I have the invitation.
What? Who sends that invitation so early?
Well, it's not that early.
You don't go beyond 2 months.
It's 2 months.
It's not even 2 months yet.
2 months and a couple days.
But you already have it. When did you get it?
Last week.
Yeah, so 2.5 months is ridiculous. That's not proper etiquette, but whatever. Fine. It's not. It's supposed to be 2 months or inside of that, not 2.5 months, but fine. I swear to you, and Rick, make a pact with me live on air.
Such a taboo.
If I now receive an invitation in the second batching because the wrestling community can't go, there's zero chance I accept it. None.
I'm shredding the invitation, and there's no gift. No chance.
No way.
No chance.
No way. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go one step further. If I receive the invitation, I will make a video of me shredding the invitation and throwing it in the garbage.
Done. Right there with you.
RJ, you going?
For me, it'll kind of depend on some other things.
You mean the baby?
That's right. But I would like to, so much as I'm able.
I can't envision Ange can go.
No.
So you have a plus one. You should bring me a Rick. Oh, would that startle him? How good would that be?
And my lovely wife can't make it. I'm bringing well, here's the problem, though. Who would I bring?
You know what? I wouldn't even mind. You could bring him. You bring me. That doesn't matter to me. Just to see the look on his face when someone he doesn't want at the wedding walks into the wedding.
Dave has played a really good woman live on the air, though. He could pass if he wanted.
Woohoo! Over here!
Yeah, I do have that in me.
I wouldn't go. I would say no. If RJ asked me to go as his plus one, no.
So you think I can't? See, I thought I was going to be the bigger person and invite him to the bar mitzvah and be like, see, I'm classier than you.
You're on to something, though. The shock value of Dave showing up at Rosenberg's wedding would be...
In something low cut? Oh, forget it. I steal the show. He's going to have all his wrestling cronies there. You know who's going to be there?
Everybody!
Yeah, they're all going to be... Hulk Hogan's going to be there. John Cena's going to... That's all he cares about.
Is Hulk Hogan going to be there?
I always get so nervous when he starts listening.
Because I know I'm going with the living ones today.
Good.
Thank you.
Jimmy Hart,
Roman Reigns.
He's going to have all those guys there.
Okay. I'm going to prove, brother, that I can beat you anywhere, anytime.
See, here's the thing, though. If you did get a second rollout of invites.
I don't even want that.
I think Dave could be had, though. I think Rick would stick to it. I think Dave could be had.
You don't know me at all. There is nobody more stubborn than me.
You are stubborn, but if he also came with a, hey, let's make a little swap here. You come to the wedding, I'll see you at the bar mitzvah, we're good. I think you're in.
Nope. He still might get invited to the bar mitzvah because I'm a better friend and a classier individual than him. Zero chance I'm going to the wedding if I'm a second batch invite.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania run wild on you?
Coco beware. God forbid Coco beware not be at this wedding.
Oh, God. You are a second batch invite, though, so you're not going to the wedding.
That's right.
Right.
Unless that's right. I'm out. There's nothing he can do.
I don't understand how you explain that live on TV and the radio and don't find it at all disrespectful to the people that get the second batch of invites.
if the people I want at the wedding can't go, I'll invite the second class, like the steerage on the Titanic now, I'll invite, and if they can make it, great. You know what I hope? I hope so many of the first batch can't go that it's obscenely empty at the wedding.
Yeah, it's like getting seat fillers at award shows.
That's what he's at. He wants us to be Kramer on the Scarsdale diet. That's what he wants.
I'm not doing it either.
And RG, you'll go because you know what? In solidarity, you should not go.
I would like to go.
A man didn't send you a wedding gift for months.
But he did. When he did, though, it was solid.
Doesn't matter. In solidarity. You should not be going.
What I gave
Ben
you
like $60 cash.
Yeah, he probably would have given you a Subway card.
He did not.
Subway card, like the food chain or the below ground?
Either. Doesn't matter.
It's a fair question, actually.
Yeah, right.
Or
Jersey
both.
Mike's,
they
Jersey
combine
Mike's coupons?
It. All right, let's get to some of these calls. I'm disgusted
Earl
with him. Disgusted with him. You think he invites Sauce Gardner? That's what he just wants it to be like an A-list wedding. He doesn't care about the people that care about him.
No. You know what? I don't want to talk about it. I'm
fair.
Disgusted by it.
I don't blame you.
And the fact that you can explain to people on live on television and the radio that there'll be a second batch because, you know, for the people that said no, it's disgraceful.
Do you know how many people we had in our second batch to our wedding?
None.
None. I never even heard of a second batch, a second wave.
Usually I'm too tired for that.
But really, like, we invited the people we wanted to be at the wedding, and if they couldn't go, then we would have less people at the wedding.
Exactly right.
We're like, oh, well, Robert says no, let's go to Steve. Steve, can you go? You can't go? Third batch. But the wedding's next week. Oh, we forgot to send you your invitation. Disgusting.
You know what that does to the relationship, though? Like, if you actually had a relationship with someone and they find out that they were
second
batch.
Does he really have relationships? All he is a sniffer. That's all he is.
Wow.
You know that's true.
I can't deny it.
There's no bigger jock sniffer at the station than Rosenberg.
It's amazing. It really is.
Let's go to Shooter in Stamford. Shooter's probably running the steps of the school. Good morning, Shooter.
Good morning. No. Good morning, fellas. I'm not running anything. I'm driving to work. You guys are the best. Took my call up nice and early. I love you guys.
Shooter, let me ask you a question, Shooter, before you start your call, because this is how I like you. I like you composed, not out of breath. What's the best time for us, because you call every day, what's the best time for us to answer your phone call where you'll be like this?
Well, this is extra early because one of the boys was sick, so I'm driving with the boys. So the boys could start screaming, which is bad, but they're being very good boys right now. But I get in the car like 7, anytime between 7 and 8 before I get to work.
All right, done.
Get to your point, Shooter, before it all falls apart. Go, go.
Okay, well, first of all, yesterday you were talking about Jessica Alba, right? So I started talking to my wife about it. I was like, honey, I'd leave you for Jessica Alba immediately. I gave her a Dave Rothenberg answer, no thinking required. I was like, oh, yeah, I'd leave you for sure. And then she said to me, I'd also leave you for Aaron Rodgers immediately.
Wow.
And then I said, yeah, but I said, that'd be fantastic. I'd be co-parents with Aaron Rodgers. That'd be amazing.
Is that what you want to be co-parenting with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh my goodness!
I don't know that's a win for the children.
He'd be coaching your kids, Dave. I mean, we'd have a huge advantage over all the other kids.
Yeah, but your kids are going.
He's also sleeping with your wife.
That doesn't seem to bother you.
Let's not talk about that part, Rick. Only you go there, Rick.
Reality. I mean, you're pretending like you're just going to be a coach.
But we'll be with Jessica Alba. Who cares?
Ugh.
All right. This is great. What do you got on the Yankees, Shooter?
Back to the Yankees, okay? At the start of the season, we were hoping Aaron Hicks was good. We were hoping Josh Donaldson was good. And I understand that. Josh Donaldson's contract's huge. But Aaron Hicks in spring training looked like he could have been one of the outfielders on my softball team, okay? At that point, they should have made a change. I know all the injuries hit now. But that should have been done at the beginning. Letting Benintendi go. Like, Benintendi's playing great on his other team now. Like, there's no excuse for that. Like, Cashman, I don't know anymore. And Hal Steinbrenner, you guys asked this yesterday as well. What does he do? Like, what, championship or bust? I think with Hal, it's just don't get fooled by the fans or bust. Like, that's just his thing. Don't get fooled by the fans. Do those little things. That's all he cares about. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. I think that Hal is... We want to be good enough. We want to get in. And if we don't win, this is my thought. I don't know this for sure. If we don't win, it's okay. where George was the opposite. George used to say, if we don't win a championship, it's a failed season. That's what the Yankees fan wants to hear.
Yeah, the Yankees fan is used to or wants what we have now as Mets fans. I think it's business. I think it's Hal runs it like a business.
That's right.
Because if that wasn't the case, would Brian Cashman? His contract ran out. Bad men of the World Series, haven't been to the World Series since 2009. If it was championship or bust, as much as you like Brian Cashman, would he get a new contract?
They haven't been to the World Series in 13 years. And it doesn't look like they're going to be knocking on the door for another World Series. It's the Yankees. And let's be fair. If I would have told you after they won the World Series in 2009, wake me up in 2024 and we'll see where you're at now because you won't have had a World Series appearance from now till then, every single Yankees fan would have A, not believed it, and B, said that's a failed 14 years.
Right. So, you got to ask yourself. Like, when you ask yourself the Hal Steinbrenner question, because he's the one that owns the team and ultimately makes these decisions. What is success for Hal Steinbrenner? So whatever they're doing, consistently being good, making the playoffs is enough for him. Otherwise, Brian Cashman wouldn't have a job.
That's right. And Aaron Boone probably wouldn't have a job.
And by the way, it's not just the Yankees that are off to a slow start. Yankees dealing with all the injuries are still 2 games over 500. I know that means that they're last in the American League East, but it's not like, Houston's a game over 500. Seattle's a game under 500. There's some good teams that got off to that are getting off to
all right,
not great
but
starts.
Let me ask you this. Do you have more belief in Houston standing at the end of the day or the Yankees?
Houston.
Is it even close?
Probably not, but I haven't. It's tough for me to definitively say that just because I haven't seen the Yankees whole yet. We haven't even seen Rodon yet.
I don't know if and when you're going to see Rodon.
Right. Severino's been hurt. Stanton, Donaldson. Not that I love Josh Donaldson.
Can we stop with the Donaldson, though? And I'm not looking at you. Can we stop with, if we had Donaldson? Nobody even wants Donaldson when he's here.
I get it. I understand what you're saying. But, it's better than what they have currently.
But to clamor for a guy that you can't stand is an interesting proposition.
Yes, that's right. But Brian Cashman told you before the season, we need a left fielder. They didn't address it, and
no,
now... you're dealing with the ramifications of that. Oswaldo Cabrera, who I love, hasn't really hit. Hicks stinks. IKF was a disaster in left field. Now Stanton Duck, there's no chance. Is there that Stanton's going to start playing the outfield when he comes back?
I wouldn't think so.
No, right?
No. And how long is he going to be out for?
The amazing part of that, too, is, when you watch, if you didn't know anything about Giancarlo Stanton, and you hadn't watched baseball ever, and you turned on a Yankees game and looked at Giancarlo Stanton in a uniform, you'd be like, holy moly.
Oh, because he looks like a Greek god.
He's a specimen.
He's like 6'7", and he looks like he's built out of porcelain.
Right, and then he blows up his hamstring, decelerating into a base where he wasn't even really sprinting.
It's amazing. He's going to miss 6-plus weeks blowing out a hamstring when he was slowing down.
Yeah, but not even from a full sprint.
Yeah, I don't know. He's always hurt. I don't know what else there is to be said. Damon in Oklahoma has a conundrum. Damon, good morning. You're on 98.7.
How are y'all?
I think better than you.
All right. Dave, I want to ask you a question.
All right.
How would you feel 5:30 in the morning, you wake up, and your neighbor upstairs is vacuuming?
I'd be livid. I don't know what else to tell you. I would be absolutely livid. And why is this a Dave? I want to ask you. I think any human being would be annoyed if the upstairs neighbor was vacuuming at 5:30. Now, that woke you, or you were awake and you heard it?
Well, no, I work night shifts, remember?
Oh, so you're getting home to go to sleep, and this animal is vacuuming while you're trying to sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
even
worse.
Any relationship at all with this person?
No.
Do you know who this person is? If you walked and saw them in the hallway, would you know who this person was?
I'd punch him.
No, I understand you're unhappy. Do you know who the person is?
Not really, no.
I think you're... Now, here's the thing. This could lead to confrontation, but I think you're clearly well within your rights. Walk upstairs, knock on the door, and say, you can't vacuum at 5:30 in the morning.
And hey, I do want to say one thing. My dad, he just had a heart attack.
Oh no!
And we were in the hospital, and I was listening to y'all the other day, and my dad was laughing at y'all.
Nice.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad we could bring a little levity to his face.
How's he feeling? Is he bad? Damon, how did everything go? Is he okay?
Said what?
Is your dad okay?
Yeah. He's back home, and yeah.
All right, good. We'll tell him we hope he has a speedy recovery. Tell him we said hi. Yeah. Yep. What kind of a neighbor? Who thinks it's okay to vacuum at 5:30?
Yeah, here's the problem. I mean, if you're his upstairs neighbor, never have to worry about it.
And there you go again.
Not a chance you vacuum.
And there you go again.
When was the last time you vacuumed?
Did he tell a lie?
I'm not a frequent vacuumer.
Right.
But it will happen when we have people over. Like if we have some of the mothers coming over, Sherry would say, like, you know, we have all these things we have to do. Can you vacuum? I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll vacuum. So I will do it. I know how to do it. I actually happen to be an excellent vacuumer.
I could see that, but I'm just saying I didn't mean it as an insult. I meant it more like, hey, it's 5:30 in the morning, I can't sleep. What should I do? Your first thought
no.
is I'm gonna vacuum.
No.
No.
No. No, I'm not a middle of if here's the thing. How much in your own mind and how little do you care about other people if you deem it acceptable to break out the vacuum and to vacuum at 5:30 in the morning?
You don't care about anybody.
You don't care about anybody but yourself is what you're screaming.
And the cleanliness of your rug.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.